the first quarter is considerably better than last year. To remember, we had in the first quarter 22 short-term work and have been affected strongly by Corona and all the restrictions due to the pandemic situation. So compared to the first quarter of last year, we had plus 82% in our group in regard of passenger numbers, especially strong in Malta, but also here in Vienna. And given the comparison with 2019 levels, we saw a recovery up to roughly 89%. And the last figures of April show that we are already above 90% of pre-crisis levels if we look at passenger development. And Malta and Košice are doing significantly better. They are more or less at 2019 levels. What we hear from travel agencies and airlines is that they expect growth figures also for the coming summer. Booking is fine, and we see also a growing frequencies and growing offerings from the airline side. What is very important looking ahead is the fact that Austrian Airlines was successful in convincing Lufthansa Group that they can modernize their long-haul fleet. So the situation from Lufthansa side is that Austrian should get 10.7879 Dreamliners to replace the existing long-distance planes. And this means beginning of 24 plus one, so that 10 long-haul fleet planes should be operational. Starting from that, we saw a revenue increase of roughly 60% to 180 million. We saw a substantial EBITDA growth from 46 to 67 million, so only slightly below the levels of Q1 19. And we saw net profit of roughly 25 million, after minorities 23 million versus 6.5 million last quarter. Also, our net liquidity improved further, but as you might be aware, we are right now starting the Terminal 3 expansion project, the so-called South Extension. And in regard of that, our CAPEX numbers then for 24, 25, 26 will reflect that and might absorb some of the net liquidity we see right now. If we go further down, you see a substantial improvement in financial results. This is due to the fact that we get interest for our liquidity, and I think that it will not take a long time that our financial results will be in a positive territory. EBIT also increased from 12.4 to 34.8. You might also be aware that the debt repayment to EIB is ongoing, so the next portion of 25 million will be repaid in June this year. So far, we have not decided for early payment and repayment. Let's see if the interest rates are going up further, because then it would be more beneficial for us to start extra repayment. But it's an option we are still looking for. If you look at expenses, clearly they also went up. So consumables and services used up 65%. This also includes electricity and district heating. And you see some effects there that we still are managing our energy costs very well. So we had contracts from 2018 for the delivery of electricity, and we are also profiting from our own production through photovoltaics. Personal expenses went up 47%, which is quite high, but reflects the situation that last year in the first quarter, we have been still in short work program. Other operating expenses went up 72%. Depreciation is slightly lower. EBITDA margin at 37 compared to 41.8. This is mainly triggered by higher personal expenses, but also by the fact that last year we received about 11 million for short-term work subsidiaries, which are not the case, which is not the case this year. Our balance sheet, I would say, as it was before, it's still very robust, and we see a strong cash flow from operating activities, a slightly higher capex that should grow throughout the year and will be substantially higher in 23 than it was in 22. Also, our equity increased in the first quarter, but equity ratio is slightly below last year's first quarter. As you are aware, the share price profited from the development of our company. We reached an all-time high, and given the market cap, it's now roughly 3.6 billion. It was below 600 when we started 2012 or end of 2011. So the company and the value of the company increased by roughly 600% in these 11 years. And for all of those who participated in the IPO in 1992, it's more than 700% or 7% per year, including the dividends. So everybody was on the right side to decide to be our shareholder. And I hope that some of those who sold recently regret their decision and maybe try to come in again. A very important issue is how our fees develop. And I want to remind you that due to the COVID-19 distortions, the model and the law for the airport charges in Austria has been amended so that the formula, the price formula, is suspended until 2026, and our fees are adjusted by average inflation. So for the last period, 1st August 21 to 31st of July 22, this amounts to an increase of passenger fees and landing and infrastructure fees of 5.8%. So the coming adaptation will then include the period of 1st of August 22 up to 31st of July 23, so it will be a period with a substantially higher inflation rate. You see that our cash position further increased, but as already said, we will start to spend a little bit more money in regard of our investments, and these investments will be mainly financed out of cash flow. Despite all other issues, we are very keen on improving our sustainability. So from the 1st of January of this year, we are operating CO2 neutral. We are building additional photovoltaic capacities up to 45 hectares. And we are sure that we will come up to 40% or even more of the total electricity required for the entire airport system. And we are looking to substitute fuels in the future by hydrogen, which we can at least partly produce from overflow production in the sunny period. The financial guidance is still unchanged, but I would assume that if the passenger numbers are increasing versus budget also in the coming month, that we would most likely see an upward revision. For the time being, it's revenues of more than 830 million, EBITDA of more than 325 million, group net profit above 150 million, CapEx around 135 million. if we continue to the details of the traffic development, and I have to apologize that Julian unfortunately is ill, so he cannot be with us today. You see that the numbers of passengers went up to 5.3 million for Vienna, 1.2 for Malta, and roughly 100,000 for Košice, so altogether 6.7 million, which accounts for roughly 82% increase, which is minus 9 against 2019, and for Vienna Airport in Vienna, minus 12, plus 3.5 in Malta, plus 8.5 in Košice. Košice is profiting from the situation in the Ukraine. So, therefore, it's understandable that they are already above 2019 levels. Local passengers amounted to 4.2, transfer passengers to 1.1 million, which shows a healthy quota of transfer passengers. What is important to understand is that flight movements still are down 22.8% versus 2019. So the seat load factor increased, and higher numbers per flight are somehow depressing the number of flight movements, which also reduces the stress for infrastructure. Cargo is slightly down. It's now 11.7 compared, minus 11.7 compared to 2019 figures. And as already mentioned, the seat load factor is up 4.9%, which is very fine for the airlines and for the profitability of the airlines. Europe still accounts for more than 80% of flight traffic. A recovery to destinations in East India and East Asia. And we hope that also China will come back if the last informations about the development there are true, we should see a strong recovery in the second half of 23. Also for international flights, they are already at more than two-thirds for the internal flights, and the restrictions are more or less lifted. One factor that still is underway is that in the time of Corona, more than 20% of the passports expired. So people now have to look to get their passports renewed and prolonged. If we look at the market share, we see Austrian with 42.3% in the first quarter, and very strong Ryanair Lauda with 21.4%, Wizz Air with 7.9%. So the growth rates of both Ryanair and Wizz Air compared to 22 are very strong, but also Austrian has a very strong growth. And if you compare it to 2019 levels, you see that Austrian is slightly below 2019. They have reduced some of their planes. That still is visible. On the other hand, the big winner is Ryanair with more than doubling their numbers compared to 2019. Slight growth for Wizz Air, strong growth for Turkish, strong minus for Eurowings and Lufthansa, also British Airways and Air France, and also others have reduced their footprint. What is very impressive, I think, is that Vienna was the most punctual hub in Europe in the first quarter, 23. If you look at the 84.1%, and you go down, you see, for example, Frankfurt at 56.5, Brussels at 55.9, even Munich at 33, and Zurich at 66.8. So within the Lufthansa group, Vienna is absolutely outstanding, which is also strengthening the position of Austria within the Lufthansa group. If you look at the highlights and the summer flight schedule, we see a positive outlook and expanded capacities. So in summer, we are served by 60 airlines. They are flying in 67 countries to 190 destinations. We see a good offering of seat capacity and a very strong growing tendency into the south, into the Mediterranean region, and also a good recovery of long-haul routes, so to Asia with 18 destinations now in the flight schedules. Austrian received 4 new aircraft and has numerous frequency increases and also new destinations like Porto, Marseille, Billund, Tivat, Palermo, Vilnius, and Tromsø. Ryanair is serving with 19 aircrafts, 77 destinations. We launched Copenhagen, Helsinki, Warsaw, and Tuzla. Wizz Air has 6 aircraft stationed and serves 37 destinations. Destinations launched Bilbao, Kuwait City, and Hurghada. Air Cairo begins flight service to Marsa Alam, Jet2Com to Manchester and Birmingham. Very new since this month, Azerbaijan Airlines and Air India resumes flights to Delhi. Other airlines like Air Canada, China Airlines, Ethiopian Airlines, Korean Air are increasing also their capacities. So the traffic forecast for 23 for Vienna is 26 to 27 million with a high probability to increase passenger numbers even beyond the course of the year. And for the group, it's 32 to 34 million and would also be substantially higher given the current developments. So a very short final view on the segments. Clearly the growth is reflected in the results of the airport segment. And what is very important, that handling and security services are in the positive territory, and we hope that this development will continue. We see very healthy growth in retail and properties, very fine development is with parking fees, where we currently are substantially above 2019. levels, but also retail and hospitality services are more or less doubled. Malta, as already mentioned, is developing very good. So 114% EBITDA growth and even 445% growth in EBIT, and already above 2019 level. So last but not least, the one important issue that might be of interest for you, we have applied to the respective authority to postpone the realization of our project for the third runway. So the current timeline would have been that the first part of construction is finalized until end of 23, and this now should be shifted to the 30th of June of 2033, so 9.5 years. And it's due to the fact that the procedure in the court took 7.5 years, and 2 years have been lost due to Corona. So 7.5 plus 2 is 9.5 years. And we expect a positive decision of the authorities in regard of that. So that's the presentation from my side, and now feel free for your questions.
Yep, just speak up or raise the hand in Teams. And Vladimira, you're first, please go ahead.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. Congratulations, very nice set of results. I would have just a couple of questions. First question would be related to your path towards the 2019 levels. Do you think that for the full year you will exceed those levels in Malta? And when do you think you will exceed on a group level the 2019 level in terms of passenger numbers? Next question would be related to your investments, these short-term investments. To be honest, from my perspective, it is kind of hidden in your balance sheet. And I'm just wondering what kind of short-term investments are these, what kind of interest rates you receive, because it is recorded, as I say, under receivables and other assets, not under cash and cash equivalents or securities. So for me, it would be really much better if I would get more insight into balance sheet on regular basis, really seeing what's going on, because this has, of course, implications for your P&L. And last but not least, the question related to your CapEx, you say 135 million. How does it look like with the Terminal 3 Southern Enlargement Project? How much will be spent in 23? And yeah, if you can update us on this project. Thank you.
Yeah. For your last question, I mean, the South Extension might digest 25 to 30 million in 2023, and the major bulk of the investment then will be in 24, 25, 26. Our liquidity is mainly in short-term bank accounts, and currently the level of interest we receive is somewhere between 3.2 and 3.8%, and might even go up a little bit if additional interest increases would be decided by the EIB, ECB. When will we as a group reach 2019 levels? I mean, that's unfortunately not very easy to prognose, because we think that it will take maybe 2-3 more years, but it could be earlier if certain circumstances occur. So one would be stopping of hostilities and a hot war between Russia against Ukraine. This would positively impact, in any case, the number of passengers. Secondly, a very strong and fast recovery of Far East, China, and other destinations would be supportive. And what we are a little bit surprised is that despite I would say even substantial increases in the prices of flights, hotels, and other travel-related prices, there is no visibility that people are stopping or even somehow reducing their travel expectations. So from that side, we could even be positively surprised that we reach maybe already in 2024, 2025, somewhere 2019 levels. But for the time being, it's not very easy to predict it exactly. I hope this answered your question.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Vladimira. Any more questions?
Hi, it's Markus Remis here from RBI. Can I just ask on specifically about the Chinese traffic? So kind of your perception of the impact of the China reopening story and your, I don't know, outlook that you receive from the airlines. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I just several days ago read a study that is very, very detailed describing the situation in China. So the expectation is that from McKinsey that the second half of 23 will show a very strong recovery of international travelings from China. The first destinations that will profit the most are countries like Australia and neighboring countries. And the likelihood of traveling to Europe depends on the perception of Chinese people whether the pandemic problems are solved in Europe or not. And still there is some insecurity in regard of that. So McKinsey expects that roughly 6% of all international passengers from China will go and come to Europe. So from that perspective, I think we can expect a substantial growth in the coming month, or at least for the coming year. And what you might remember is that they are at the top in regard of retail spending, especially highly estimated brands are very interesting for them. So The main effect, I think, we will see on the retail side. It will not be so important for the passenger numbers, but definitely it would support retail revenues once more Chinese passengers are coming back. And we can expect that they will come back. And overall, McKinsey expects that in the very near future, they will reach or even exceed 2019 levels for traveling outside of China. So they have been demotivated by Corona, but the likelihood that they are now come back is very, very high.
Okay, thanks, very helpful.
If you want more details, you can go to the website of McKinsey, and I think they have a special part in regard of tourism and aviation, and there it might be possible to download the whole article. It's very detailed and I think very interesting if you want further details for that issue. Or Bernd can email it to you, can give him a copy.
Right, thank you very much.
Any other participants next to the sell side analysts covering us for raising some questions? Perhaps in the meantime, just a small hint from my side, you probably saw it in the presentation section of our homepage. We issued in the middle of April kind of more extensive, broader roadshow presentation, investor presentation, more focusing of the fundamental drivers of Vienna Airport, looking more in detail of the investment case as such, on top of the rather short-term focused quarterly presentations, having the review on the last 3 months. So if you did not see it till now and you think it's of interest, please look at the homepage under the presentation section at the IR site, a more detailed view on the investment case and the drivers for the company. One more I ask for questions. There is still some time we do have. But if not, then I think it's on us to thank you for dialing in, for participating. Perhaps as I see it on this slide, Mr. Ofner, we did not mention it in the presentation, the last point of the summary slide, that Austrian Airlines received green light for the extension of the long-haul fleet. I think it's a very good sign for the Vienna destination the support.
I mentioned it.
Okay, then sorry, there was at one point of time, you probably heard that my phone was ringing. Yes, then we do not stretch it. Thank you again for your interest and talk to you soon. Thanks a lot. Have a nice afternoon. Yeah, goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.